Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Kiyoshi Keith Shimada, and we're going to be talking about the essence of Buddha. The essence of Buddha is about living a life with meaning and purpose. It offers a contemporary interpretation of the way to enlightenment written by a highly revered spiritual leader. Enlightenment is a potential achievement for every sentient being. The path towards it is an expansion of consciousness, moving from material concerns to an increased awareness of the unseen spiritual reality. This, and the practice of a love that gives, rather than just expecting to be loved, is the only path to happiness and a better world. Minister Shimada is a Happy Science USA North America CEO. He joined Happy Science as a priest in Japan and has been instrumental in helping Ryoko Akawa with his overseas lectures. You can find out more by visiting the website happyscience-na.org. Again, it's happyscience-na.org. And I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Keith to the show. Good day, Keith.
Hi, thank you very much for having me today.
It is my pleasure. I am looking forward to learning more about the essence of Buddha. And
okay.
All of the things that I, you know, that, I mean, I've just, you know very little. So I'm really looking forward to having our listeners learn more. So to start with, I think it would be great if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your journey and how it is that you became involved with Happy Science and exactly what that is.
Okay. So I'm now 49 years old, and I'm in charge of Happy Science North America, so including Canada and the United States. And I became a full staff of Happy Science. So I can call maybe ourselves minister, pastor, or priest of this religious organization. So it's been my 14 years. And I encountered the teaching of Master Ryoho Okawa 1987 when I was 20 years old. And he already published more than 2,100 books. And I was kind of meeting the teachings of the Happy Science activities and at the beginning of Happy Science. So I always read books and read the books and I change myself and try to change the surroundings and environment as well to make a better world. So during the way, I had a chance to become a full staff. And I became a staff. So now this is my, I visited more than 20 countries. And before United States, I was in European countries and Australia and India as well. So I'm always telling the people how to become happier and how to make the world better. So that's me, Kiyoshi Shimada.
Okay, and I mean that's quite a journey for someone so young. And so now, can you talk a little bit about Happy Science and exactly what that is?
Okay, Happy Science. So everybody heard this name, they are confused. What is this? So let me talk about a little bit about Happy Science. So Master Ryoho Okawa received spiritual messages from spirits, mainly spirits from heaven, so including Moses, Jesus, Shakyamuni Buddha himself. So he wrote the book based on what he received. So it started from 1983, and then became a book and published it. So many people in Japan started reading. So every week he published a new book. So everyone, you know, went to bookstore and find out, you know, this is a new book and this is a new book. So then he started the organization called Happy Science from 1986. So the congregation was getting bigger and bigger by year by year. So even just 4 years after foundation of this organization, he gave a lecture in front of 50,000 people in the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo, Japan. And then this teaching was also spread to the all over the world. So now we have followers over 100 countries, and we have almost, I think, 70 branch offices and temples all over the world. In United States itself, we have almost 10 temples and branch offices. And New York, Atlanta, Georgia, and Florida, California, and so on. And so it's kind of a spiritual movement. It's beyond the religion, and it includes including politics, economics, and social matters, and not only the religion. So we say this movement is beyond the religion and a spiritual movement.
Okay. So, you know, the fact that it includes, you know, political, economic, and social components, it seems that, you know, and the fact that it's not a, that it goes beyond religion, it seems that the whole purpose of this movement then is to motivate people to not only live happier, but also to maybe become a force in change toward making the world better?
Yeah, that's correct. That's what we do.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about the book, The Essence of Buddha. So is this book, you know, meant to be a primer of Buddha's, you know, inner thoughts and the essential teachings?
Oh, yes. This book is, I think, outline of Buddhism with simple words, so we can apply those teachings into our lives, daily lives.
Okay. Well, that's one for me then. A basic
yes.
book with simple words. You're talking my language. So now, are there, you know, I don't know much about Buddhism. So, you know, are there different schools of Buddhism, different, different types of Buddhism?
Yeah, yes. If you go to India, Sri Lanka, and Thailand, they believe the Buddhism called Theravada Buddhism. But if you go to China, Korea, and Japan, they believe Buddhism called Mahayana. So what's the difference between is the Theravada Buddhism is the teaching, they believe this is original, that's what the Buddha talked. So, China, Korea, Japan, so Mahayana Buddhism is a Buddhism teachings that eternal Buddha. So the Buddha who passed away 2,600 years ago taught the people and the disciple on this earth. So it's like a slightly difference between, but main difference between is Theravada Buddhism is believing Buddha is not coming back to the earth. But Mahayana Buddhism believes Buddha is going to be again coming back to the earth and teaching the people. So that's the biggest difference between.
Well, you know, in other religions, you know, there also seems to be very much the same kind of differences, you know, as far as, you know, whether the teachings are, you know, meant to be the, the ultimate way, versus the, the coming back and teaching again and being on another force. So, okay, well,
right.
that's interesting. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about Buddha's life and the journey and just how he discovered this?
Right. The main, I think, the wisdom that Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha attained at the moment was neither the luxurious life in the palace nor the severe life in the woods gave him enlightenment. It is like playing guitar with the strings either too loosened or too stretched. So we should choose a middle way to live. That is the right path to take, and happiness is found in this path. The right path is a middle way. So because of the Shakyamuni Buddha's life in the palace, so, he maybe saw the girls dancing in front of him and drinking and also studying. So it's like a spoiled prince at the palace. But he decided to go out and seek enlightenment. So he went to the woods and lived like, other monks at the moment. So he barely ate the food, and just the skin and the bones are left. So he almost, going to die. So he realized this is not the right path to enlightenment. So he accepted the offering since then and energized. And then this is the right path to enlightenment. So he found a way to attain enlightenment, but at the same time, he found some wisdom during the 6 years of the becoming a monk after leaving the palace.
Yeah. Well, now this is kind of a real basic question, but what would how would he describe enlightenment? We talk about seeking enlightenment.
That's true.
we're seeking?
So the main purpose of his enlightenment was to find out why people are living. What's this, planet about? And what happens to the people after death? And all those questions arise around him, and he seeked the answers for the questions. But mostly, we can say to ordinary people on this earth right now, so if you face the problems like a difficulty, setbacks, and all those hardships, so you overcome it, and when you overcome it, you gain something new, some ideas to overcome it, right? So we call that wisdom as a enlightenment. So the enlightenment we're talking here includes everything, the discoveries and the new ideas coming from the inside. And also, of course, we can learn from outside too, but you get into deep inside, you find the Buddha nature or divine nature within, and if you find it, you can see more power is sleeping inside. So all those questions, like how universe was created and what happens to people after death. So that's the enlightenment that he was talking about, and we are learning how to attain the same path, taking the same path, and how to attain the same wisdom that he got.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess then the idea is that, seeking the answers to these questions, gaining wisdom through, overcoming challenge or obstacles or hardships, that
right.
Once we get that glimpse of enlightenment, then we incorporate that into our daily lives to make it happier.
Yes, that's true. Because everybody has, people who come to religion or temple and churches, they come to churches and temples because of the problems that they have. So one is their poverty, one is human relationship issues, and one is the sickness. So all those three problems are main issues that people have on this earth. So we teach, you know, the Buddhism teaches people, you are sick right now because of this reason. So you have a relationship issues with the other people. So because of this tendency of your soul, so if you change something, you can, you know, solve these problems and even illness and poverty as well. So we can, of course, apply the teachings to our daily lives. But at the same time, not only overcoming the problems and the hardships, we just you know, going into deep inside through meditation, you can find something that is sleeping right now. And it's 90% of your total energy. So you are using just 10% of total energy. So if you don't realize there is one, you just waste of time and waste of time and waste of energy and die, you know, pass away. So we emphasize people, please do meditate through learning the teachings. You can find your true self. That's, I think, the main purpose and the main way to attain enlightenment.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I like the idea of unlocking more more energy, you know,
yeah,
the fact that there's 90% of it dormant, you know, that is ready to be tapped into,
right,
and you know, and brought to the surface. And, you know, and I think, you know, the one thing that I really want people to understand is that, you know, through these teachings, that, you know, they're, even though they're ancient, you know, teachings, that they can be very much applied, you know, to modern day, you know, so, you know, one of the areas of enlightenment includes something called renunciation. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
So, so we, you know, because of the body we have, we see things and we hear something, and we also touch, you know. So this is the world of tangible things, but we believe there is another world, which we cannot see, we cannot hear, and we cannot touch. So to actually, people believe the body, not the soul and the mind. They care about the looks, not their hearts inside. So renunciation is the path to seek real wisdom. It is like abandon your attachments. The attachments to money, attachments to home, attachments to cars and positions in a company. So that's the strong devotion to the Buddha, or maybe we can include gods as well. So this is the strong pledge to seek enlightenment.
Okay. Well, you know, the one thing that, you know, the idea of attachments to physical, you know, the physical side of life, you know, I often, you know, I think we see in, you know, just in day-to-day, you know, like, for example, whenever there's natural disasters and people will lose everything, you know, all of their possessions.
Right.
You know,
so
you'll often hear them say, well, you know, we're alive, thank God we're alive, you know, we have each other, you know, we have our family and our friends. So, you know, one of those things, to me, that always brings to the forefront the importance, or the lack of importance of things, how things really aren't as important as life itself.
That's right. So, because we have to understand the meaning of this life and the purpose of life. So even if we, you know, say abandon your attachments, we cannot live without food, without, building,
right.
without the clothes.
Uh-huh.
So we don't deny having those things. The important thing is not to attach to it.
Correct.
So even if it's a good thing, a bad thing, if you have attachment, you know, start having attachments, that make you suffer. So that's why Buddha tells people, this is a temporary world. There is nothing you can attach. And because the one thing that you can take to the heaven after death is your mind and heart. So please be aware of it. So that's the main concept.
Yeah. Well, you know, I understand that, you know, and that's one of those things where I think that it's, real, I think that people are learning more about, you know, I mean, because there have been so many challenges that people mm-hmm. have gone through when it comes to, you know, it seems that if there is an unhealthy attachment to something, that mm-hmm. it's taken away in a way
that's
to give
right.
you perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So now, one of the essence of the teachings is the idea of an eightfold path,
mm-hmm.
and how it can guide us day to day. So
okay.
can we spend
yes.
just a little bit of time talking about that?
Okay. So eightfold path is the path to enlightenment to gain wisdom and your new ideas, to overcome your sufferings and hardships. So how to do it is you just sit down and maybe the end of the day and think about what you did today. So there are 8 points to reflect. One is right view. So did I see the thing right? And the second point is right thought. Did I think right and inside? And right speech, that's the third point. So did I speak okay? Did I speak good or did I speak bad? So you have to see it. And our fourth point is right action. So my work was okay. My work, did I work okay? Did I work for the people's happiness? Like that. And the fifth point is right livelihood. So did I live okay? So maybe night and day upside down, so that's not good. So that kind of thing you can reflect. And the right effort is a sixth point. So did I make efforts enough? And right mindfulness. So you have to make sure if you are right path to accomplish your mission on this earth. And then the last one is right concentration. So that is the meditation. So you have to sit and even 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and 15 minutes of silent time to think about what you have done, what you have said, what you have thought, you know, through this day. And then if you see something wrong, you have to correct it. So if you hurt somebody, you say, you know, I'm sorry, in your mind. And if you meet that guy or that lady next day, you can say, you know, I'm sorry. So we emphasize having a silent time at the end of the day, or maybe during the day too. Think about what you are thinking, what you are doing, what you are saying. So all those reflecting points is a full path. So you can always get yourself back on the right track. So you don't have to make mistakes. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, this eightfold path. You know, this right view, thought, mm-hmm. speech, action, livelihood. When you say right, you're mm-hmm. speaking of being positive, constructive, loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
That's right. Correct.
That's right. That's right. So. So that's why, Shakyamuni Buddha taught so many sutras and teachings. So learning the teachings, and you have some the material to judge yourself, what was right, what was wrong, and what was good and bad. Because it depends on the situation. It depends on the people in certain situation. So you can always apply those teachings to your reflection time. This is A4 Path.
Okay. So now, okay, I, you know, one of the things that I, and this is a great way, you know, like you say, to end the day, you know, to go through that process and review, review the how productive,
right.
for lack of
right.
a better word, is, you know, your
yes.
day was. For people who, you know, if they go through this process and recognize that maybe there was something said, you know, the right speech wasn't quite right, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was a case example. I had an example yesterday where someone said something that, you know, later on, you know, they told me very much how they regretted saying that. So to me, that was obviously this person kind of reflected on, you know, what was said and felt that it was harmful. So when we go through that process at night, if we find that we maybe we weren't so right all day long, how do we get back on track? Recognizing what didn't go right.
Because you face something, you know, very even a small thing, like you said. So, you know, it's not pleasant. It's not happy, you know, the moment that we met somebody who are harsh on you or who somehow, you know, made mistakes about you. So so how you do is whether or not you have negative feelings inside. So if you just keep having that negative feelings inside, you don't live happily, right? So something got you. So that's what it is. So even if you encounter the first arrow like that, you don't have to meet a second arrow the same thing. So you have to get over it. So I mean, if you knew this person is always complaining, this person is always blaming people, this person is always attacking people. So if you knew it, you know, you don't have to actually deal with it. And hopefully, you know, you can encourage him to change, you know, change himself or change herself.
Right.
So we can tell people, this is life, you know, living together. The purpose of your life is not just blaming. The purpose of your life is not attacking people. So hopefully the first step is you can have some distance between. And the second step is, you know, making friends. You know, you can have a relationship as a friend and influencing that person to change for the better, you know. So it depends, actually. And the important thing is, like Buddha says before, the cows, you know, drink the water to make milk.
Right.
And the snakes also drink the same water to make poison. Right? So it depends on what we are thinking inside. So how to deal with those people? Actually, valleys. You can change or you cannot change, but you don't have to get poisoned by the people's negativities. So one time, you can gain some wisdom, you know, even if it's a small thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And and I love that the idea of the processing of water, you know, with the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I had never heard that before, but I mean, it really shows the importance of, you know, that we're all one way experiencing the same energy, like water, and it's just how we process it, whether it's nutritious or
that's
hot.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can put yourself in maybe Buddha's shoes or Jesus' shoes. He or, you know, they wouldn't do the same thing that we do. So once we get to, you know, get closer to them, Buddha or Jesus, you know, we don't have to deal with those small things. We can still love the people.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I want to take this a quick break here, Keith, and I do want to invite people listening, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to pose them, and we will get to them right after the break. And then when we come back, Keith, I would like to talk about something called the six paramitas.
Paramitas, yes. Okay.
Paramitas. Okay, great. I'm glad I got that right. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Kiyoshi Keith Shimada, and we're talking about The Essence of Buddha. And again, you can find out more about this book as well as many of the other books written by Riho Akawa by visiting the website happyscience-na.org. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Keith.
Okay.
Okay. So, the six paramitas.
Okay.
Let
me just explain in a simple word. So, we talked about Eightfold Path. So, that's the time that you can reflect on those 8 points to see yourself. You know, what did I do today or yesterday? So, but a six parameters is more on actions. So, you focus on actions like a offering that is love. You love the people or not. Okay, and the next one is discipline yourself, observing the precepts. So, you decide what to do, what not to do, and you did wrong, and that's the reflection point. But the important thing is you did it or not. And then perseverance. So to accomplish your mission, you have to bear the time. You know, it may take 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. So just keep on doing towards your target and dream. And effort as well. How much you make effort today. That's the thing that you can reflect. And meditation, you sit down and think. And what did I do? What did I, you know, say and the thought? And then lastly, the wisdom. So wisdom is enlightenment. So through this meditation, thinking about what you actually did today, you gain some wisdom and discoveries. So Eightfold Path is a reflecting point that I focusing on inside of yourself more. And of these six parameters at a reflecting points, but focusing on actions.
Okay. Well, you know, I love that because, you know, the one thing that, you know, I believe in the benefits of meditation, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, the one thing that sometimes I find some people get so they concentrate on the meditation so much that they ignore the action part of life and the living of life. You
right,
know,
right.
And it's, you know, it's like, you know, meditation is good, you know, finding that inner balance, that inner wisdom, that's great, you know, and it's important.
Right.
But then taking that and applying it to life and actually living a happy life, to me, that's just as important a key.
That's right. I totally agree.
Okay. Well, now, let's talk about it. We're kind of winding down in time, so there's a couple more topics that we'd like to kind of cover. One of them is, what does Buddha say about reincarnation?
Okay, so reincarnation. This is about a body and a soul. So our body is like a vehicle, and a soul is like a driver of the vehicle. So the driver, which is a soul and the mind, reincarnates over and over, and again and again. So in that sense, we can say we have eternal life. So on this earth, we live like 80 years or so, and after the death, we go back to the other world and come back to the earth again. Usually this cycle runs for ordinary people every 300 to 400 years. So what we're doing here is soul training. It's like a school, so train ourselves in different places, different countries, different maybe parents and so. So you decide when to be born, where, in which country to be born, and who to be your parents, and also which sex for this lifetime and so on. Of course, you chose your occupation too. So you knew, you know, what's going to be like in a country, which country you are born and who your parents are. But there is a spiritual connection between you and family members or close friends, and we can call it maybe soulmates. So we were together in your past lives as well. So those, the groups are reincarnating again and again, and just to polish ourselves, each other. So that's the reincarnation concept.
Okay. Well, you know, I've often thought that the physical experience was just the was God's way of trying to find as many ways to unconditional love. You know, how many ways can we find and experience and create unconditional love, you know, and going through our, you know, I know that I've often thought, what was I thinking when I chose some of the things that I'm going through? And a lot of people, you know, maybe have a little difficulty believing, you know, that they chose their circumstances, whatever they are.
Right.
But quite often, you know, it's those challenging experiences that strengthen the spirit.
I think so, and I believe so. And if we accept this reincarnation system, actually many of the problems we have could be solved.
Yes, yeah. You know, and one of the things that I, you know, I thought that, like when it came to Christianity, when it, you know, kind of did away with a lot of references to reincarnation, is the idea that if some people believed, you know, that, you know, that, you know, they can come back, then it's like, you know, why do I have to be good? You know, but you know, I think that's, you know, I think that was a way of kind of controlling people, you know, to, you know, but if one truly believes in that, you know, in the return, then karma then comes into play, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, let's put this way. Maybe you killed someone in the past, and you are given a chance being killed in this lifetime. So anything you did in the past reflects the present situation. So to make even, you face exact the same situation or the totally opposite situation. Like for example, suppose you were a samurai, you know, killing your enemy with sword in the war 300 years ago in Japan, and in this lifetime you became again a soldier, given an opportunity to kill people because of the war, maybe to protect the country. But or if you are a samurai who killed many people at the moment, but this lifetime you became a sergeant doctor cutting the body to save the people. So this cycle of reincarnation creates your soul tendency, you know, what and how to think and do. So you can make either good or bad karma through this reincarnation system. But a karma occurs when you do action.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, that's the one thing that when it comes to whenever I see something bad happen, you know, or someone, you know, acting, treating others poorly, mm-hmm. is, you know, in my mind, the recognition that, you know, what they, the seed that they're sowing, they'll reap, you know, if not
that's
now,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, soon, later, yeah.
So that's another way of calling the law of cause and effect. So it's actually happening to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. My goodness. Well, we have enough time for just one more topic. And,
okay.
And we're going to talk about heaven and hell. let's talk. There's a concept of and a reality of. So
Of course, there are many, the realms and places in heaven and hell. So, let's put in a simple way, the people who helped for other people's happiness can go to heaven, and the people who didn't go to hell. That's that simple, is it? And we can say, therefore, we have to refine our mind and our soul. So, like I said, cows drink the water to make milk, and the snakes drink the same water to make poison. So it depends on our minds inside. So what we're thinking and doing decides where we end up going after death. So that's why we have to, you know, look at inside and do the right thing all the time, or try to do the right thing. So people make mistakes. God knows, and Buddha knows. So that's why we have time to reflect and repent. And that's the concept of heaven and hell. And if you go there, it's interesting. It's like mountains, you know. There are many points that you can take rest. So the upper you go, and the higher you go, and the more less people you can meet. So it's like we call it fourth dimension, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, seventh dimension, eighth dimension, and ninth dimension on these mountains. So if you pass away, you go to a fourth dimension. And the fifth dimension you go, you can meet good people. And the sixth dimension you go, you meet leaders like politicians, lawyers, and doctors like that. And the seventh dimension, you meet angels and the bodhisattvas and the Buddhism words. So people who are just thinking other people's happiness. They help people. And eighth dimension is the world of gods and Buddhas. So it's not really, creator and eternal Buddha. So there are many great figures there, maybe making one religion and great leaders there. And the ninth dimension, you meet Buddha or Jesus. So at the top of the mountains, there are 10 great figures that governs this earth. So that's the heaven. And the hell side, that's fear governs that world. And attachments, all over there. So you just suffer every moment you live. And but going through the hell, it's like a rehabilitation place. So you realize, oh, people are spiritual being. You know, what you are thinking is myself. So then you just go up to the fourth dimension. So like if you take a music composer, the Beethoven is living in a sixth dimension, the leader, and Mozart is living in a seventh dimension. So it's more heavenly music he can create. And Bach is living in eighth dimension. He's kind of the leader of the music field. So that's what the Master Riho Okawa revealed, you know, who lives where.
Okay. Wow. There is just so much, boy. this is great. Well, you know, I really appreciate you, you know, touching on so many areas, because this, for me and for my listeners, I'm sure, you know, this is going to create a spark to want to learn more. So if they want to, you know, learn more, you know, from you or Happy Science, what are some of the ways that they can do so?
Okay. So as you introduced, Happy Science have a website, Happy Science North America. So there are many temples and branch offices all over the United States, New York, Los Angeles, and New Jersey, and California, and also Georgia, Florida, and including Canada as well. So, but we made a TV program aired on Fox TV in New York last year. So if you go to Happy Science North America, and there is a media tab. So you can click it, and there are 8 episodes of Master Riho Okawa's teaching and the lectures you can see. So I think that can help many people, because we are receiving many calls at the temple who are suffering negative spiritual influences. So in simple way, it's evil spirits. So they are possessed, and you know, they don't know how to do it. But if you Google evil spirits, the Happy Science comes second rank. So they just call us, you know, how to deal with it.
Okay,
yeah, so there are many teachings you can learn.
Great. Yes, and I did notice on the Happy Science website, right at the very top, you know, what scrolls across, there's also you know, to click real quickly to be able to watch the new TV program. So, well, Keith, I really want to thank you for your time. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I've learned a lot, and I also want to learn more. So, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Kiyoshi Keith Shimada, and we've been talking about the essence of Buddha. And again, as he mentioned and I mentioned, you can find out more by visiting the website, Happy Science, happyscience-na.org. That's happyscienceforNorthAmerica.org. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.